Well, Jay, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little cooped up here. It's time for a move, I think. Get some space, some bigger yard, that kind of thing. What do you think?
You are really going to move? But that's a big deal. Like, you can't do
it
that
in
your
big deal.
You're scared to even leave your living room.
What seems like a big deal moving isn't when you use the right people. You can use these sell your own home situations where you're bartering with a guy in your driveway for 45 minutes and you end up selling for $3, or you can use a professional that makes moving actually simple. Who are we going to use?
But the problem is obviously Tom, but my worry is you're so far, you're in Orleans.
Tom will come to Orleans. He'll go to Russell. He'll go to Clarence Creek. He'll go to west of the Westy Village, wherever it is out there. He'll go anywhere for you and make that experience that you were talking about of nervous or a lot of work, make it seem like nothing. Bastion and Ferguson will literally smooth out the easiest move of your life.
Wow, even in Orleans, I just can't get over that.
Yeah, once you hit 10th line, 11th line, 14th line, he's still coming. He's driving in his brand new Dodge Caravan, carries his family around in, will sell your home. That's what I'm looking for, an easy ride with Bastion and Ferguson. Look them up. He's going to sell you quick and easy. Ben Fisk, if you were asked to throw the opening pitch at a Major League Baseball game, could you throw it where the catcher wouldn't have to move at least?
He wouldn't have to move his feet. Let's put it that way. Yes. Yeah, he might be doing one of these, but I think he'd be able to make me look good.
I love it. Jay Sinwiding, soccer snob. When you stop at a red light and a car pulls up next to you, do you always look at the driver? Always?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Such a good question.
I'm a pretty nosy guy, unfortunately. I can't help but look. The curiosity gets the best of me.
Yeah. See, it always happens. Jay?
100%. 1,000,000%. I'm looking at everyone while I'm driving. I'm like, every time I want to see who's around me. Yeah, 100%.
Even if someone passes you, it's almost like you're less of a man and you're like, What are you doing? Like, don't do that to me.
I'll be totally honest. When I was a bit younger, I was known for doing the old red light, look over, get their attention, roll down the window, just as the light turns green. And as they start rolling it down, just speed away. So it was good for a few laughs back in the day. I don't think people like it too much, but.
No, with your Atletico stuff on your way to
the game.
I love it. Love it. Stephen O'Kane, my friend, can you answer that? I'm going to go back to baseball for Steve here.
Okay.
You're a back catcher now. I get the worst pitcher in the major leagues to throw it to you. Fastball, do you catch it?
Oof. I think I would catch one of three. If you gave me three attempts, I think the first one I'd be gauging the speed. Second one I'd be like, holy crap. And third one, I might get my hand on.
Yeah, at least you're going to touch it. Steve, are you grabbing one?
You get that big catcher's mitt. So, and I would be, I'd have double the protection because I'd be scared out of my mind. I do not want to do that. It's like being a goalie. I hate being goalie. I always kind of turn around. I don't want to be a goalie. Stupid. Yeah. I think I'd catch one just because you're asking me, but I wouldn't want to ever do it again.
Yeah, a goalie. Every time you're a goalie in training or anything, it's like that jump pirouette turn when someone shoots, jump and turn.
It takes a special breed of person to want to do that for a living.
Totally.
Season 2, episode 3, Ben Fisk, midfielder for Atletico Ottawa in the CPL, Canadian Premier League. Originally from Vancouver, he was in the Whitecaps Youth Academy before spending a few years in Spain with a team I will not eat. Well, you know what? Caruso. Did I hit it?
No.
What is it?
Caruso.
Oh, Caruso. What is wrong with me?
Well,
and,
I mean,
and Deportivo B. He then came back home to play for. Yeah. He then came home to Edmonton to play in the NASL for a few years. Ireland was the next stop for Derry City. Blue Rift Canada came calling again. He signed with Pacific FC and the CPL. Last season, moved to Atletico Ottawa. 2 caps for the national team as well. Welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Awesome. Are you in Ottawa right now?
No, I'm in Vancouver. No.
Okay, you're back home. Okay. Are you in lockdown right now?
I don't think it's officially called a lockdown. It's kind of a partial lockdown, I guess. We're not supposed to be mixing households and stuff like that. Okay. Generally, most businesses are still open. I think, you know, some of the fitness classes and stuff like that aren't allowed to keep going, but hopefully it doesn't get much worse. I heard in Ontario, you guys have it pretty bad at the moment.
Yeah, Toronto's bad. I mean, but everywhere else is pretty decent, but we're all stuck inside because of them. Damn Toronto. So with that, you're in Vancouver. Like, are you guys all scattered around? Are you on like a training? Like, do you meet with your club and coach now, like Zoom? Like, are you doing something every day as like a club?
No, not as a team. We've all got like individual off-season training programs, and then we'll check in with our sports science guys and stuff. But it's generally pretty self-directed. You kind of get your program, and then it's up to you to maximize it.
I just saw the other day the article in the Citizen with Jeff Hunt about you guys were supposed to or still might go, or because of COVID, obviously everything's up in the air, you're supposed to go to Madrid for preseason. Is that correct?
I don't know. No? It sounds like you might know more than I do about that one. I think right now we're all just hoping that we'll have kind of a normal season. You know, obviously the league did a great job to pull off the Island Games last year, but, you know, I think we'd all be pretty disappointed if all we got was a 7-game season again. So, that's kind of at the forefront of our minds. And, you know, if we get to go to Madrid or something like that for preseason, that would obviously be a big bonus, but.
Yeah. I'm going to flip back to like this Zoom thing. I'm just trying to live a day in the life of a CPLer right now. Like, how often does Mista, is that what we call him? Is it, did I butcher that like Caruso?
No,
or is
nailed it.
No, it's okay. How often do you talk to the manager?
In the off season, you know, not a whole lot. The odd text here or there, you know, he's pretty good with checking in on guys. You know, every coach kind of has their own kind of philosophy how they want to do that. You know, some think the off season should just be for spending time with your family and, you know, you stay fit, but other than that, you kind of leave the ball alone for a few months. You know, we've all, I think, got pretty good personal relationships with them, so, you know, a little Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, that kind of thing. But other than that, I think everyone's kind of just enjoying the time at home after a tough year.
How hard is your independent training? Like, are you like, is it a couple hours a day? Is it an hour a day? Is it like me where I go on the bike for 10 minutes and then I eat Doritos? Like, what are we talking here?
I mean, it definitely depends on the guy. You're going to train as hard as you want to, kind of thing. So I've always quite enjoyed that side of things, doing the work when no one's looking. So generally, a couple hours a day, I'd say. Little kind of stretching routine in the morning, and then maybe an hour and a half on field or an hour and a half in the gym, kind of thing.
Yeah. But like, so I'm going to rewind time here for a sec. You were the first ever signing in Atletico history. But before that, you were like poster child for Pacific FC. Like you were like the captain you brought in to be like the, you know, like you were like the leader. What happened? Why did this kind of quick turnaround happen and you come to Atletico Ottawa? I mean, it just seemed like such a good fit there, reading the articles. Everything was was fantastic that first season. What, why the change?
It's a good question. It was a really hard decision to come to. You know, I absolutely loved my year at Pacific, and honestly, I've got nothing but good things to say about everyone with that organization. Ultimately, it kind of came down to I felt very, very comfortable there, close to home. You know, Victoria's an incredible city to live in. And I kind of, you know, I started getting thoughts in my head like, oh my gosh, like I could spend the next 10 years of my career here and finish things off and stuff, which, you know, would obviously be great. I'd love to do something like that. But at the same time, I kind of had this feeling that that I wasn't done kind of pushing myself yet. And I, you know, as I was kind of having these kind of internal struggles, that's when Atletico was announced. And pretty much as soon as they were announced, they'd gotten in contact with me, and it all just kind of seemed like maybe it was meant to be, to take on a new challenge, and just kind of one last kind of adventure, going out of my comfort zone. And I think you can see by my resume, you know, I've always kind of enjoyed trying new things and trying to push myself, and sometimes it hasn't worked out. You know, probably more often than not, it doesn't work out the way I hope, but yeah. You know, I'm never going to be the guy that doesn't want to kind of take that chance and try something new. So that was the biggest thing, was just, I felt that with the backing of Atletico Madrid, you know, the bringing in a coach like Mista, who's played at the highest level, I just felt like it was this great opportunity to maybe give myself a chance to kind of, you know, step on to the next level and take my game to a level I didn't know I had.
Yeah. So here's just listening to you with that. Like, I love that idea of a professional getting himself out of his comfort zone, because it's so easy to get comfortable and complacent with that. So I love that. I'd love for kids listening to realize that. Don't stay at home and just go to, you know, Alberta University. Push yourself. Get out of that comfort zone. You'll improve as a human and a player. I love that aspect. But the other part is like, where the CPL is, and like, you know, in Ireland where you played and that kind of thing, like, it's almost 1 year contracts at a time, right? So for me, I look at it like this. Now you've got to play all the time to earn that next contract. So you're raising your game. But then at the same time, you're never really rewarded with that comfortable contract to earn a living. So tell me about that. Like, what do you think about these 1 year rolling deals? Is it hard for you as a professional?
Yeah, it is, for sure. I think, you know, especially when you're younger, I think it's a lot easier. It's also, you know, understandably much more the norm for younger players is, you know, you get a 1 year deal and you get 1 year to kind of show what you've got. Now, you know, I don't know when it happened, but now I'm kind of on the older side of things, I guess, or at least, you know, in my prime at 27, older side of things in the CPL, I should say, not necessarily in world football, but so it is a weird kind of thing where, you know, you come to every off season and I'm obviously, a well-known name in the league and stuff like that. So it is a bit weird coming to the off season and not being 100% sure where you're going to be playing the next year. It gets frustrating. I think it's one of the things I definitely dislike the most about this business. But at the same time, where the league is at, I think it's pretty understandable that, you know, clubs are not making long-term commitments, because it's very much, you know, we want someone to perform for a year, and no one is kidding themselves in that, you know, you're making set for life money in the CPL, right? So I think for players having a 1 year deal, it's maybe a bit more stressful, but it also gives you the opportunity, if you perform well, you're free to move on to bigger and better things at the end of the year without being tied down and having to negotiate a transfer fee or anything like that. So yeah. I think, you know, if you look at it like a financial market, for example, where there's volatility and all that kind of stuff, I think, you know, the soccer world is no different. So you don't get the long-term security, but you do get more liquidity to use a good analogy there. So, sure.
That's way above my IQ level. But no, here's a question. And also going back to, like, you're hitting the prime of your career now. Is the CPL for you, are you looking at it as like, here's my platform to get back to Europe or to get to another higher level? Is the CPL a platform for you for that specifically?
For sure. I mean, I definitely see my short-term future in the CPL. It's something I really believe in. I wouldn't have left Ireland. I was really, really happy there. I wouldn't have left that if I didn't kind of believe in what was happening here. You know, obviously, like I said, it's not set for life money here. So I think any player in this league, if they're getting a lucrative offer from somewhere else, it's going to be something that you have to think pretty hard about. But in terms of my long-term future, I think, you know, building my name and being a part of building this league, I think is something that I've taken with a lot of excitement, and I'm, you know, I'm really excited to be a part of it, and hopefully that can continue for a long time.
I have to ask you about Derry, because I'll just make it a selfish now it's about Steve interview. I took a team over there with the Ottawa Fury. We played in it's called the Foyle Cup. It's kind of like the the second level milk cup. So I went over sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I went and watched some of the games, because I think FC Edmonton's Academy came over and they played in it. So it was pretty good.
It's me. I went with, I don't know if you played together. I'm not sure, but I brought a guy named Ryan McCurdy over. That's.
Yeah.
So he was like 16, and he was even dumber than he is now. So like it was, but we went over there, like wonderful experience. And like, we were that Canadian team, like FC Edmonton. And I think I'm like repeating it on this show, but we went for a run when we got there, and we like ran up the, I forget what the name of the river is there. It's like a big, anyways, we went up down
the river.
What's that?
I think it's the Foyle River.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think it is, but I didn't want to say it. And then I'm wrong. And everybody's like, you're an idiot. But the Foyle River. We went out. Anyways,
I'll take the heat for that now.
Okay, if it's not, I'm going Ben Fisk. And here's his email I'm sending to everybody. Anyways, long story short, we're training in this little patch of grass. We just wanted to have a little kickabout. And all of a sudden, this tomato comes over. Bang. And it hits a kid on the leg. All of a sudden, this potato comes over. Like all this fruit and all these vegetables. And I'm like, and like behind those old school fences in Britain, there's just all these kids just, and they're also like, F you Canadians, go back home. And we're like, we thought we were in like World War II. Anyways, great tournament. What was your experience like there? Like, just talk to me about it. Cause you said it seemed to be that you alluded that you liked it. You came here for a great opportunity, of course. We never got the chance to play at the Brandywell, but I went there cause all the finals were there. Unbelievable little stadium.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love my time there. My fiance was with me there. She loved it as well. Ultimately, much like leaving Pacific, it was a pretty hard decision. Ultimately, obviously, coming home to be a part of the CPL was kind of too good to pass up. But, you know, it's a very quaint little city, as I'm sure you saw in your time there. But very friendly. I'm sorry to hear about the experience of those kids, but
very friendly with sharing fruit. Yeah,
exactly. They're very generous. Yeah, some might say. Yeah. No, but the people there are honestly like second to none. They're so. That's a funny story, but I think it's also a good kind of example. You know, the Irish are very they're very upfront. If they like you, they'll tell you. If they don't, they'll tell you. And you know, they're pretty easy to read like that. So I quite enjoyed that kind of culture, and you know, the live music and you know, going on a Saturday to watch the Premier League matches in a pub and staying for a couple pints and watching you know, kind of a no-name band come on and jam out was pretty fun. So I really enjoyed the culture.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Did you ever jam out? And
I jammed out a bit. I was like, does anybody want to just like vibe with me here? Like, but no one took me up on it. It was weird.
No, the total opposite of the story.
Yeah, they were like unbelievable. Like they just wanted to win. They were just messing around with the kids, but like great hospitality, unbelievable. Like just unreal environment. Is it the same? Like, this is maybe a real personal question. I'll just ask it. Is it comparable financially CPL to the Irish League, Northern Irish League?
Depends on the team. I think in Ireland you have you've got, you know, Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, Derry, Sligo sometimes, Cork City in there. You've got those teams that pay pretty well.
Linfield's pretty big, no?
Linfield's in the Northern Irish League. Okay, Northern, yeah. So I think they're only part-time. So I'm not sure what the wages are like in that league, but League of Ireland is full time, so you know most of the teams are paying pretty well. But definitely, there's a big divide between kind of those top four or five teams and the bottom seven, I guess.
Yeah. So speaking of those teams back where you played, because of COVID, because of where we're at right now, the CPL, you're off forever. Did you want to, or did you still want to try to go on loan somewhere to get playing a bit in Europe?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Kind of once we got knocked out of the Island Games, that was kind of at the forefront of my mind, trying to decide if that's something I wanted to do. Ultimately, I kind of decided against it. Just thought it was a kind of a weird time to be traveling around, and all the leagues in Europe are kind of up in the air. And, you know, speaking to lots of my friends in Spain and Ireland as well, Ireland didn't get shut down, but the Spanish league had to take another break. And it just seemed like a lot of effort for potentially not that much upside. So ultimately I just decided to spend a bit of an extended off season at home with the family.
Yeah. Year one CPL to year two CPL. I know it was just an Island Games, but it was something. Did you notice a jump in quality from year one to year two?
Definitely. Yeah. I think, I would say not a single team in the league that didn't get a bit better. You know, including Edmonton, I think would be the obvious one that didn't have the most impressive Island Games, but I thought they had, you know, some better players and maybe didn't show as well as they could have. So I think every team improved. I think, you know, playing styles were much more defined. You had, you know, groups that were much more on the same page and ultimately saw a pretty entertaining tournament. I think, you know, for the fans and for the, awesome. The average kind of supporter that maybe was tuning in for the first time, I think they would have been pretty impressed with the competition and the level of play.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I thought it was fun. And it must have been for a player. Like, I'm going to talk here for just a second because, like, my friend was an assistant referee out in the Island Games. And I was talking to him and he said, being in that bubble, like immersed in this soccer life for that long, he said he, like, the improvement of him as a referee was like a year, like, you know, like a month and a year. Was it the same as like being a player? You're bubbled in, so now there's nothing for you to do other than learn and play. And did you have like additional classroom sessions or video sessions? Was it like a day, like, you know what, give me a day in the life of Ben Fisk at the Island Games. You wake up and what do?
It's not very exciting. you head down for a pretty mediocre breakfast, get your kit, head off to training. You know, it's a bit weird, like you'd be showing up to the field and a team would be leaving. You know, we'd always be crossing paths with teams in the hotel and stuff. So that side of things gets a bit weird. You've obviously got friends on, you know, a guy like myself, I've been in the Canadian soccer kind of world for so long. I've got friends on every team. So it's kind of weird seeing them in the hallways and, you know, you want to be like, oh, what's going on? But you're also competing against each other. So it's this really weird dynamic. I'm surprised there weren't any fights. It's all kind of weird, but you go off to train, come back, have lunch in the afternoon, maybe have a little nap, a couple hours of studying, maybe some Xbox or something, and then go down for dinner, maybe some ping pong and cards after dinner with the guys, and rest and repeat.
Did you stay away from other teams? Like, did you play ping pong against like Edmonton? Like,
no.
Doubles, yeah. Edmonton v. Oh, that would have been sick. Yeah, but
no, it would have been. I think, like, under normal circumstances, it probably would have got a bit more like that. But just with COVID, we were, you know, supposed to kind of stick to ourselves, and we each had our big squad room. So other than kind of running into each other in the halls, you'd be staring clear of each other.
Yeah. Atletico Madrid, Atletico Ottawa. Now, is there a clear pathway? Like, were you guys told, like, there is a pathway now, you know, for you guys that you're here? I mean, I know getting to Atletico Madrid in La Liga is, I mean, you got to be, you know, the best of the best. But, I mean, is there a promised opportunity for young kids? Like, can you get tickets before me to Atletico Madrid? Is there some perk of this Atletico situation for you?
I would imagine we'd be able to get tickets before you. Yeah. as far as like a player pathway, I think, you know, you don't have to be super involved in the football world to know that there's obviously a big gap between us and Atletico Madrid. So I don't know if that's necessarily a realistic, you know, one step ahead of us. kind of thing. But I think what they've, you know, made very clear from the beginning is that we're very much a part of the Atletico Madrid family. And with that comes, you know, an entire world of opportunities. So I think, you know, like look at BT Martinez, one of my teammates on loan with Alavés Bay, you know, La Liga team. You know, where do you think that connection kind of came from, right? So there's definitely like a host of opportunities that that come with being a part of such a big brand. And, you know, who knows, I think you, for young guys coming through, young guys that are already in the system, someone like Antoine Copeland, you know, honestly, if I was 16, I'd be thinking, I got a pretty big opportunity here. And maybe, you know, the Atletico Madrid first team is maybe not the next step, but it could be a step in the future. Playing with their B team, for example, would be an incredible kind of step forward for someone like Antoine or another young player coming through.
Yeah. How good is Antoine? Is Antoine like, are we going to see something special with him?
I don't think we should put expectations on our young players, but yeah, I mean, he's a very special kid. I think more than anything, he's got a great head on his shoulders. He works his ass off day in, day out. And you know, he's just ready to learn and asking questions. You know, he's like a little flea on your back, kind of trying to pick up every piece of knowledge he can get. So I think that just set someone up for success in life in general, and of course in the football world as well.
Do you take that role on yourself kind of now with the young players? Like, do you seek out young players to help, or is the manager, when he's recruiting you, saying like, I want to bring you in and directing you to help the young players? Like, how involved are you with the young players in Atletico Ottawa?
I would say pretty involved, but it's not a conscious decision or anything like that. I think if a young player needs to be put in his place, for example, obviously that just needs to happen. If they need an arm around their shoulder and, you know, some encouragement, sometimes that's the way to go as well. But I think it's more just helping anyone in the team that needs it. I think that's what any teammate should be doing. And you know, it goes both ways as well. I think a lot of the time there's pressure put on older players to kind of guide young players, but you know, you never know. Sometimes a young player kind of might have a new way of doing things, a new idea that could help an older player learn as well. So I think it's more just like being a good teammate, learning and also teaching. You know, I think everyone can be doing both and should be if you want a cohesive team environment. So.
So here's a topic we've talked about on the show with Stephen Jay here. This new rule of the CPL having to mandatorily sign three. Mandatorily is not a word. I'm positive it's not a word. But the mandatory three foreign player signing from this database. Do you know about that? Or have you heard about that? Or
I've heard about it. Yeah, I don't.
Is that taking a spot of a potentially Canadian player here? Like, do we lose our focus a little bit on Canadian players there, or where do you sit on this?
I don't think so. I think there's still, you know, a maximum of 7 international players on each roster. Yeah. So I think if you look around the world, that's pretty standard types of rules. You know, I think the onus should definitely be on the organizations that an international coming in has to be, you know, head and shoulders above a Canadian to play over them. I think definitely if you're taking 2 players at face value and they're pretty equal, I think it's obvious that the Canadian should be given the opportunity, but it's not always that clear, right? So yeah. I think bringing in foreign players, regardless how you're doing it, I don't know a whole lot about the scouting system, but you know, whether it's from that, from an agent, whatever it is, as long as it's a player that's going to bring value to the league, I think it's great for everybody. It creates competition. You know, of course, like soccer's a world game. So you bring in people from all ends of the earth, which I think is one of the coolest things about this sport. So I'm all for it. I'm all for bringing in the best players available and making this league the best that it can possibly be.
Yeah. Speaking of like top players, best league, I always think about this when I see transfers or movement. Acuna. Like, obviously, I'm not Spanish. Okay, so Acuna, whatever, left Atletico Ottawa this past month or month and a half, right? he was a real good player from what I saw at the Island Games, right? Now, are you as a team, are teammates texting him like, don't go, man, like stick, like, are you guys texting each other in that kind of situation? Like, are you
we're talking, but not like that. That's not, no. That's not how this business works. I think everyone's pretty happy for each other generally. You know, I think it's no secret League MX is a pretty badass league. So him moving on there, everyone's just like, good for you, man. That's awesome. He's obviously spent most of his career there. So I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I think it can also be inspiring for guys. Well, he was with us last year and now he's straight back into that setup and shows you we're not that far away. Right. So nothing but happy for him. I think most guys would say the same. And you know, hopefully he's not the first guy that leaves to a better league, right?
For sure.
It's a big club.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
I have a question about the coaching. Who's doing the sessions on the grass most of the time for Atletico Ottawa?
Like who's running the sessions, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Mista. He's very, very hands-on, I think. With his playing background, that's the way he likes to do things. He'll demonstrate. He likes to be in the mix. He's got a great supporting staff as well with the guys. Fabian's great. He's kind of the assistant coach and translator, so he's good at if maybe Mista isn't able to get his point across, Fabian will jump in. Jose Oriol, the strength and conditioning coach and assistant coach, is great as well. His English is like probably better than all of ours. So that's pretty sweet. He's got, he's more on kind of the physical side, but he's got a great footballing brain as well. And Jose, the goalkeeper coach as well, kind of, he's definitely the most knowledgeable kind of goalkeeper coach I've had in terms of, a holistic kind of approach to the team. I think, a lot of the times goalkeeper coaches stick with the goalkeepers and he's not like that. He's very much, doing all the video and statistics and, I'd be having breakfast after a terrible night's sleep, just trying to down my coffee and he'd be like, Fisky, like, look at this play from last game, like you could have made this run. Like, what do you think? Like very, very studious. So I think, the whole coaching staff kind of brings a lot to the table. And sorry, that was a bit of a long-winded answer.
That's good. It's funny.
Definitely a big fan of all of them.
I'm into it. Well, that answer got me hooked, man. Don't apologize.
Yeah, well, okay. You know what it reminded me of, Steve, is we interviewed Rob Gale, the Valor manager, right? And that's the difference between, I guess, a CPL club with the backing of Atletico Madrid, where you've got a strength and conditioning, a keeper coach, a this, a that. We talked to Rob Gale. He's like, it's me and my assistant I picked up from, the side of the road that have to do everything, like from, video to this, to that, to the other. And that to me is like, as first things first, as a recruiting brain that I have is like, that's the ultimate recruiting tool, Atletico Madrid pathway. And like, listen, we have this, and this. So it's like, I'm starting to buy in here, Ben. I think you got me, buddy. Now, about that, the CPL. I just want to throw this tidbit out of who didn't know. Top five jersey sales in the CPL this year. You were number four. You were the fourth highest selling. Did you know that?
I did. Yeah.
Did awesome. Eh? I'm not groundbreaking any info here, but no, that's a cool thing. It shows that you're relatable to the supporters. So I thought that was pretty neat to throw out there. Before I hit you with a couple rapid fires here real quick, the last movie that you watched?
Oof. You know what? I actually can't remember the last movie I watched. I did just finish The Queen's Gambit, the show on Netflix.
Interesting.
I've been more into TV shows. I've been studying pretty hard in the off season, so kind of an hour a night is all I've been.
What are you studying?
Business finance.
Nice.
Hence, my analogy earlier was like numbers going in my head.
Yeah, you're throwing liquidation. I'm saying mandatorily. That's the level for working out here. So here, because you're studying finance and you just finished like the refined Queen's Gambit, what do you like better, Simpsons or Family Guy?
To be honest, like, of course I like both. I've never been like a huge guy on either. If I had to pick, I'd probably go Family Guy.
Now you're talking my language, buddy.
Yeah. Definitely in high school, I was big into Family Guy, a little bit less lately, but it's a classic for sure.
The best player you played against at the Island Games?
Oof. I'll go Marco Bustos, I think, against us. He had a great game. We were in the Whitecaps Academy together. I've seen what he can do for, you know, better part of 10 years now. So it was pretty awesome to see him have such a successful tournament. And obviously now with the national team cap and stuff, awesome. It's pretty nice to see. And against us, he had a fantastic game. So,
yeah. What European club do you support?
People actually ask me this question a lot. I'm not a big supporter of any club. I don't really consider myself a fan of any team. I love watching good football, and I like teams that are doing things a bit different. My favorite team to watch this year has been Leeds. Marcelo Bielsa obviously is a bit of a legend on the tactical side of the game and stuff. So I really enjoyed watching them. And beyond that, just all the teams that I've been at, I like to follow along and support.
Derry City,
Deportivo, Whitecaps, obviously.
Liverpool or Man United? Liverpool or Man United? Make a decision.
Historically, Man United. Lately, Liverpool is a bit more fun to watch. Honestly, like watching today, I had no allegiance. I just wanted to see some good football. So,
Do you own a pair of snowshoes?
I own a few, actually. Wow. My mom has a place up in Pemberton, just past Whistler. So we try and spend a bit of time up there in the off seasons.
If you had to, it's weird asking an athlete this, but if you had to, or if you had the choice, would you take cream soda or Orange Crush?
Cream soda.
Yes.
Wow.
We're back. I love it. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on. I know it's off season, and you're kind of doing your own thing, but we appreciate you coming on and giving our listeners a Atletico Ottawa take. I mean, we're a local Ottawa podcast, and not having someone on till season two is stupid of us. So we're glad we could get you on here. At Ben Fisk is your Twitter handle, right?
Yep.
At BenFisk. Follow him on Twitter. Follow Atletico Ottawa. Follow his career. It's obvious that he's a very well-spoken, smart, soccer player here that, every youth player should be listening to this and aspiring to. So we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for having me on. And hopefully it's not the first time. Or sorry, not the last time. After you just called me an intelligent young man.
Oh, that was amazing. I can't wait to see you at TD Place, man. I want to see you. And like I loved watching Hamilton Forge in that in the Champions League. Like, I would love to you guys get there this year. We're watching at TD Place. I think I just can't wait to get you in Ottawa. Like, you hooked me with a lot of those answers, man. That was really enjoyable. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate that. And I mean, it goes both ways. I can't wait to play in Ottawa. Like, you know, obviously when I signed, I was really excited for that whole experience. I've played at TD Place in the past against Ottawa, against the Fury. And you know, I knew what I was signing up for. It's such a great city and such a great fan base. So I'm really looking forward to actually having that experience.
We're just going to keep blitzing through. We just had Ben Fisk on, and we're talking about how I need to learn the English language and the Spanish language, actually. Cruxero, or what did I say? Cruxy? I was like, anyway.
You don't try and pretend that you are a seasoned language specialist, right? So,
you know what? We are what we are, and that's why I think we're relatable in a weird way to people, is that, you know what? We're just three people that are talking. Like, I'm not going to learn about Cruxy's history just to ask him about, I don't know. Anyway, so that's where we are. Ben Fisk was awesome. I loved it. Yeah. And it's funny because after we interviewed Rob Gale, I'm like, Valor, whoosh, like tore my shirt off. And now I'm like, all I want to do is go to an Atletico Ottawa game with us three and like look at him and hope we connect eyes and be like, can we come on the field and talk? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he was polished. It seemed like he had a lot of experience in interviews. We talked about a lot after we interview guests, and he knows how to answer a question. He's like almost like a politician, and I'm not saying it in a bad way. Like, I thought he was very respectful about everybody involved
and honest. Like, that's what it was, an honest, like he didn't shy away from anything, which is like, as any interviewer, you're like, just give me an honest answer. And he hit it. Like, he could have easily said like, oh, I love helping the young players, or the rule is great, but no, he gave his awesome straight up answers, and that's like, that's what keeps it super interesting.
Genuine, I think, is what it is. Great word. And like, he just texted already to say thanks, like, so just a great
He texted already. Wow, that's that's amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him about his youth stuff a bit more, but I don't know if he was going to be bored of talking about that because he was at the Whitecaps, and I wanted to ask him about the coaching there and stuff like that. But
there's always a part two, man. Like, as soon as athletic season starts kicking off, like, we have him back, talk about anything. Like, I mean,
well, maybe we'll have viewers sending in questions for the captain that we could ask, and maybe some questions that we don't normally ask, because I'm always thinking coaching because it's, my passion and stuff. So maybe something a bit different for him.
Good call, Jay. You know what, Mark? Like, you killed me. Obviously, he knew, but being fourth in jersey sales, like, it's also impressive to me because, like, they've never played in Ottawa. They played seven games in the Island Games, and he's fourth. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, that's quite an accomplishment, to be honest.
I'm gonna be devil's advocate here. Like, as if anyone's gonna buy an FC Edmonton jersey, and they're all the same jerseys. That's one of my big things that I hated. But Atletico, it actually looks good, and of course I'm gonna buy an Atletico related jersey, like, for sure. But obviously for him, I think it's great. I think he's, people just see one interview or something, know that he's like, he is what he says he is, and
you know why too. I guarantee you, after games, he will be the one walking to every kid, thank you, this, like, talk, like, you know what I mean? He's not just down the tunnel and out. Like, anyway, I find it fascinating. Like,
hold on, Mark. I want to go on that point. If you were a pro player, this would be a big problem for you.
You know what? I think about this a lot. I think about this a lot.
Are you signing shirts? Are you signing people's hands?
I don't go home. I'm there until 40,000 people talk to me. Every kid, because I've always thought of that. When I see interviews of like hockey players with like their toques down to here walking by, like screaming kids into the game, or soccer players, not hockey specifically, anything, soccer players with their big things walking into, I'm stopping to everybody. I'm like giving my shoes after a game. Like, I know what it's like to be, maybe not my shoes.
You're a germaphobe. Like, there's no way you're shaking hands with like so many people. How do you get away with that?
Are you putting a
Ziploc bag on your hand and shaking hands with people?
A Kleenex box.
I love it. But there's nothing worse to me than the pro guys walking by kids holding out a sheet of paper.
Okay, but I'm gonna back Jay on this. It's a great question, Jay, because it's the germaphobe piece. So I picture him with Kleenex boxes on both hands and feet because he's given his shoes away. And Jason, you're bang on. He's not a stop and chat guy. Like, I feel like he wants to get out of the situation fast.
Yeah, I see it. Maybe it's not, you know what? Here, I'm going to revise my answer. The adults get nothing from me. The kids get my attention.
Good answer. You won.
40-year-old holding his program in my face, I'm like, listen, go away, like, grow up.
But to, like, be fair, that Mark would do the stop and chat escape, which was genius. You perfected it. The upside down iPhone, and walk away pretending you're talking on it. Well, I was in every stop and chat. I would talk to anybody, and Mark, you're so good at, like, I'm talking to the ticket manager of like a Vermont Voltage, and I'm talking to the cheese guy, like the mascot, and you're like, Jay, let's go home. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about the game, it wasn't like, and then you're like gone, like nowhere near. Steve's yeah. yelling at me to come on.
Yeah, I'm like a WWE wrestler. Like, I'll take a, I'll like slice myself of blood just to like get out of the situation. Like, I'm bleeding. I gotta go. Like, you gotta get creative in some of those situations. Yeah.
There's no way Ben Fisk is signing every autograph, and 100%. He's sitting down cross-legged on the field reading a book to like yeah. 10 kids.
Imagine him and Drew Becky on the same team.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my god.
Just it would be like the Gentlemen United. Like yeah. it was just like it's just the most amazing team.
He's got a couple of tattoos though. He's got an edge to him. And I watched some highlights of him. I haven't seen him play like too much. Like I don't have one soccer I have to get that I'm embarrassed to say. I didn't want you to bring it up, Mark. I would have been devastated if you said, Jay, do you have one soccer yet? And I'm like, yeah, duh, everyone has it, right, Benny? Like, I would have been like so rattled, but I am gonna buy it. But I watch highlights and I love the way he dribbles forward, and like yeah. he's not afraid to take guys on. So he's got a little edge to him with the tats, and he has a Nirvana shirt on. Oh, he yeah. jams out in Derry.
Yeah, you know what I loved actually, and it's I don't know if we talked about it on air or just together, but like the whole you're walking by other teams and you've got friends on there, like good for him to say, like, you know what, it's also the end, you know what I mean, like it's easy to walk by and do like 1700 high fives and stuff, like, but it's that whole tunnel argument where like everybody's hugging.
You would have found the escape door, and you would have gone, oh, you found it, would have found a door that would up the fire escape. You never would have had to see anyone. Everyone would be like, where's Mark? Like, I haven't yeah. seen him.
Also
you're so good at that.
Can we yeah. just talk about how Jay destroyed me? Like when he said, like in Derry, he's giving the greatest description of Derry, and then like rocking out. And Jay saw that that's where I disconnected, because there's no way I rocked out in Derry. And all of a sudden, he was in my room beside me, poking me on the shoulder, saying, "Hey, Steve, you jam in Derry? There's no way, no way."
No.
You to know what's fair, so you went with it though, and I was dying to ask him. Sorry, Mark. I know you want to jump in. I was dying to ask him how he did, if he did better than your team, the FC Edmonton, sorry, team that he watched, if they yeah. did better than your team, because your yeah. team came through.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make a note and look it up.
Do it.
I would die to know.
You know what surprised me? Maybe it's because us three are maniacs, but for the listeners who don't know, we worked together in the PDL, the three of us running a team, and we would travel and you know, do all the preparation. We were the coaching staff of the team. Anyway, so with that said, when I asked him, like, a day in the life of, like, when we would enter the Vermont Hotel, we would write down every millisecond of these human beings. Like, okay, we're going to come down for a stretch in the morning, get them up, get them eating this, like, get them this. We're going to walk in the parking lot, do like a, you know, shadow board. And I find it's hard to believe, like, you know, you're in there, you know, your players are bored, you know, they need to be mentally stimulated. I'm surprised he wasn't like more, they weren't more on a schedule, or maybe that's yeah. just yeah. us being insane.
We're more like Rob Dale.
Because of COVID probably stitched them up. Like,
yeah, that's a good point. Like they're probably a lot less they could do. I do feel that was the one disconnect I had as far as, well, it's not even a disconnect's a bad word, but I related to Rob Gale more than that piece yeah. that you're talking about. But I will say, like, to totally like contradict what I'm saying, he has me completely sold on Atletico Ottawa. I love that the club at Madrid has said they're part of the family. Like that shows me that it's more than just like a frivolous, like here, we're just throwing our name to it kind of thing. Like, or like different clubs have come over in the past from England, and it's like they send their like party birthday coaches over to see us, like, and pretend they're real coaches. Like, no, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's that was cool. Like, that resonated to me to be like, you know, that's like they're trying to do something here, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd like to see, like, you know, fast forward 8 years and like how really connected they are. But I have that here. I'm like, what's the main motivation for Atletico Madrid to do this? It's my opinion.
Alfonso Davies.
Promoting the brand too, right? Like getting the brand out in Canada and trying to find that like gem, the Antoine Couplin, you know what I mean? Like it's that one gem. What other motivations could there be of them doing that?
I'm going to ask it on air. I'm so glad you brought this up, and I'm dying to hear both of your responses. So number one, I think you nailed it. The brand, 100%. And I think these clubs are stretching out. They want the next Davies. They're going to outlay, like, I don't know, $25 million over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know. And like Davies could make them that in one shot.
Yeah.
Question for you guys, because I was asked this. I'm going to say by an unknown source right now until I find out, but I'm going to ask it live on our show. It's not even that big a deal. A company from Europe is coming to Ottawa in the spring, and they're here to identify talent. And they're I wouldn't say a scouting agency, but something like that, recruitment type agency. And I've been asked if we would promote them or promote the events on our show. Will we do it?
I'd have to know more about them for sure. Like figure out what they're, where they are, what they're from, what they're doing. Like, are they stepping on any toes? I don't know. I have no, that's my original, right away. I'm on the defense.
Yeah,
like,
you,
I'm
are.
Defense, I'm, you are. I'm like guarding the rebound right now. Like,
yeah, you are. You're throwing elbows. You're throwing
and I'm
elbows.
Boxing out right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, if it helps Ottawa kids and players go somewhere, I'm all for it.
Is it a good thing?
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they're, as long as they're legit.
That's the other thing. Like, is it legit? Like, are they promising something they're not? Are these kids paying to go to this talent camp?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not paying?
Yeah, if they're paying to go to the camp.
I'm going to read you the request. I'm assisting a European company bring European soccer trials. I don't know what a European soccer trial is as opposed to, like, a regular soccer trial. To Ottawa in the spring, COVID permitting. And they have press release. They're looking to get out in Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal. They're bringing 10 European coaches. So I guess they're from Europe and it's a European thing with European trials. That's been mentioned.
It's very European. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking for foreign talent. Would you get the word out? Yeah. So I'll have to, I was like you, Mark, I was throwing elbows. I want to know, like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Maybe tell them, sure, come on our show and we'll talk about it. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. No, it's kind of, seems something's a bit not full. Like the story's not fully
told.
Is it
an agent? Like, is it an, I mean, because Europe is a big place. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm like Western Hemisphere soccer to recruiting. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What, yeah. You know, just, it's very vague.
You know what I think our hesitation is? I think this might be like a topic is like, there's so many people I think that have come to Canada over the years touting European, British, this and that, that are basically just frauds who never made it where they were. So I think we're very scarred that way. I think there's a lot towards Brits, especially in this, you know, like how many British coaches with an accent have come over that are actually just terrible. And I'm British and I don't think British coaching's terrible at all. It's just, I feel like we've got a lot of the phonies come this way. Now, yeah. I hope people aren't reading that into me saying like a Tony Harrison or a Brian Evans or these guys. No, those are real deal type people, but there's been others. Like I just keep going back to those coaches who came over from that one club and they were basically like, when I Googled them, they were the birthday party guys who took people to like a bouncy castle and they tanned so bad. They were like orange by the end of summer. Like they weren't even coaching. Like I wanted to learn from them. I was so excited. I remember Jay and I went and watched and it was like, what are we doing? Like this, I could have learned more going to a Hornets practice and watching Jada Costa, who I have a lot of respect for. Right. So I think that's where we're coming at. And maybe like, that's a stigma we have, or I don't know. We're very gun shy.
Or maybe we're also like, it's almost like a protective father thing. Like we want to, before you come and take, like, you know, like we want to know what's going on, because there's also horror stories, not only coaching, but like, false agent promises, false this, here, come this, come do this. And then all of a sudden the kid's like sitting in a Latvian street, like supposed to sign with, like, you know what I mean? Like if you're going to come somewhere, give some details. Who are you affiliated with? Like send us your, is there a website? Is there all this kind of thing? Like,
it's not like everything has to do with money. Let's be honest. And it's like, how are they making money off this? Someone has to be paying those guys. Someone has to be paying for those flights. Is it coming from registrations or is it coming from a club? Who's paying for this?
The way I look at it is they're definitely coming from a club or a group of clubs, and said group of clubs are looking for some untapped talent that they can make into the next Jonathan David.
Yeah, so let's. For me, I'm all for it as long as we get some intel. Get who, which clubs, who is it?
And that I'll stuff follow we'll up. Do. To be fair, the guy who asked me is a good person. I know him well. He's. I think it was just him broaching the subject mandatorily or whatever. Like, but
it's mandatorily. Of, but he actually meant to say Mandalorian.
Speaking That's of young dad. Talent, young players. When I asked Ben about like mentoring the young players. As a coach, would you ask some of your older players to do that? Or would you just let that happen organically and be part of this question? Do you think sometimes it's a distraction away from that like experienced player? Steve?
That was way too easy. I wanted to know who you wanted to go first. I didn't want to interrupt Jay. I think that it's not a black and white decision. I think you need to know your players, just like everything else. I think you need to be like, if you're at Liverpool, you obviously see Milner can do it. You can see he can handle it. You could see he's been around and he's a guy you want to do it. So I would maybe discuss it with him, but I need to know, like, I need to look at some of the other ones and be like, I don't know, like when I look at Salah personally, I don't see him as some sort of mentoring the younger guys. I think Salah just wants to score a million more goals. But so I think that's the decision. I don't think it's like in a manual book where you're like, get your mentor, make sure your mentor mentors the kids. I think you figure that piece out.
Yeah. You know why, Jay? I brought it up. And Steve, I brought it up. Like, it just, as soon as I wrote that question down for Ben, I'm like, geez, like, because, and it's not in the same respect, but in the PDL, when we had the thing, like, it wasn't a mentoring younger player, but it was a distraction. Joe Dawkins, I think, probably could have been like the best player we ever had, but it wasn't us that assigned it. He wanted to have an internship and have all sorts of work. So he was working so hard that he barely played for us. But like, it's that distraction of, you know, losing your 100% focus from playing. And that's where I'm thinking, like, if I'm like 28 and the coach is asking me, can you help this little guy? But then I'm like, well, there goes my laser focus. I don't know if that happens or if that's just my mentality.
Ben gravitates toward that because he's the captain, the club captain, or whatever. So I think it's like Henderson would do the same, and Stevie G, and you know, they reach out. It's like they feel that they have a vested interest in doing that, where they're not told to. I don't think, but
yeah,
I think it's a good point though, Mark. Like the what you're trying to say, and maybe like. Maybe when you're in the clubs, like you said, that are on 1 year contracts, you're having a more difficult time building a club atmosphere. Like Henderson, Stevie G, like they've been there. They want the trance coming through. There's a bit more time invested. I think when you're a Ben Fiss, you have to be more selfish, even though he's not selfish for sure. I'm not saying that, but yeah. I think he has to be because like you nailed him, Mark. He's playing for his next contract as opposed to like, and Anton Kuplin is trying to get his spot and keep that contract. And that's the way it is in the pros as well. But there's a bit more of that stability to your question to him earlier. Like, so it makes it a very tricky situation. And I think you nailed it with Joe Dawkins. That's a regret I do have. Like he is such a charismatic leader person that he was shouldering so much for the team that I think it distracted him from his playing. And he was in an environment of a one and done, like you're in, you're out. It's 4 months. And you know, really, we should have maybe taken a lot of that burden off him and just said, look, just play.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So here, like, speak of the Island Games bubble, though, like the one tournament thing, I want to ask you both as a coach, would you rather you have one chance in your life to coach at a World Cup or one season in the Premier League? Which do you choose? And I'll give you a specific example. Do you want to coach like, you know, so they're on the same level? Like, would you rather get the chance to coach Italy at the World Cup or have Chelsea in the Premier League season?
Premier League for me.
Wow, that's it. I thought he was going to elaborate. That's it.
There's no other.
I agree. It's got to be Premier League, but like, it's tough to just totally say that because of how monstrous the World Cup is, but the experiences you're going to get and the variety of players. And I think it's just bigger
and more games. You get a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just like the fun and intensity of that one tournament where you're in the hotel, you're doing like, I'm a one tournament guy. I live for that stuff. Live for
really?
It. Yeah. I don't know. That's it's just fun for me. Like I would have died to have been at the Island Games. I would have been like the ball chaser to be at that.
But you killed me because if you wouldn't have put the level like Italy Chelsea, if you would have put the level like West Brom Greece, then I'm doing Greece because it's six games and I have a chance.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great call. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that.
No, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. How long in minutes can you plank?
Oh my God. Right now, if I had to do it.
Right now. I almost want you to go down and plank while me and Steve talk and we time you right now live. I'm dying for it.
Give me a marker because I don't really do it for like as long as I can. You just do it for like...
Oh, what's good? It's a good plank time, like a minute and a half. I don't know.
Steve, you did P90X before. Like what do they usually do?
Did. Like right now I could do like a 14 second plank. and that'd be with like a beer can between my belly and the ground to help. Like I'm in a horrific shape, but you're right. Probably a minute and a half to 2 minutes would be like reps.
If you're doing it properly, like it starts to burn bad at that.
If time. Steve goes first, then I would will myself to go 1 second more, just like the quizzes. Well, as long as he goes first, if I go first, I'm done.
You know what? Maybe off camera at some, we're going to each do the best plank timed by our wife. So it's legit. And we'll see who can plank the longest.
You weigh like 78 pounds. You have
to pick that up. Jay, it's been too long since we've seen it. I have like the COVID 45 right now. I'm like I'm like a polar bear. I have a layer of blubber.
You look incredible.
Now, a mountain lion is following you and your family.
Oh my God.
Okay, you're camping and it's following you. You see it. Okay. What would you rather have?
How far away is the initial, like, I see it? How far away is it?
It's 15 yards away.
Is it like whenever I turn around, the mountain lion stops?
Yes.
And then I keep going and then it stops every time? Like it's stalking.
100%. Yeah, it's stalking you and your family. What weapon would you rather have on you? A knife, a slingshot, or a baseball bat?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the slingshot, because I think you're trying to like trick me into like, I think I have to take the slingshot because I saw that video of the guy throwing rocks at that mountain lion and it finally like spooked it. But the guy's aim was awful.
Yeah, so what?
I think I would just like probably end up throwing the slingshot, but like, and having it used against me. But I throw rocks, anything. I'm throwing something for sure. There's no way I'm getting close enough with a bat. There's no way. There's no way.
Okay. You just answered that so well, but there's no way you want the slingshot. You're never going to hit it with a slingshot. How many times do you use a slingshot in your life? Three? As like fun jokes here and there?
It's pretty straightforward.
Of course it's straightforward, but like, and you have a perfect rock that's going to stop the sling. You killed me though, because you referenced like a YouTube thing that was doing it. But I'm totally like doubting my answer. I want to say knife. Cause like, I feel like that would stop it. Like I could kill it, but I'm with you. Like, am I going to get that close that like I can get the knife before it bites me? I want a bat. Cause I just want to, I would just do this for hours and like a helicopter.
How far away are we from our car?
Miles. Yeah, you're on a hike. You're on a hike. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I bought both my kids for Christmas, or is it Christmas? They both have like a legit slingshot with like metal pellet, like beads.
Really?
Yeah. So when we go up to her parents' cottage, we're, you know, and that's why I added it in this. Like, that's a serious, if you hit them once with that slingshot. Yeah. He may be deterred. He may not like that. But like Steve said, like it's nerve-wracking because to use the other two, like Now you're hand-to-hand combat with like a mountain lion.
No, I'm throwing
a bat. The bat, you can like get it before it's too close, I feel like.
I think that's probably where
Real life question to that right now. It's a parental advice I want from both of you. And I'm thinking you're both going to say slingshot. My son goes into the forest behind our house where there's construction and whatever. And you go like a decent distance off the path. You turn so you can't see it off the path. And there's like, he's made a hockey rink. Like it's basically, there's a whole huge sheet of ice. It's like this, it's like half of a hockey rink. Okay. When he came back, like three times, he's seen coyotes. Yeah. What do I equip him with?
Nothing. Coyotes will never go out.
Never.
You know, it's funny.
Counterpoint. There's been three coyotes in the neighborhood. And one, like 2 years ago, someone was feeding it.
That's stupid.
Now they're desensitized.
Yeah. I think you only got to worry about the super young kids and like cats. I've looked into this because we go in the woods a lot too. And, but
you bought your kid a slingshot.
Yeah. That's just to go hunting for like squirrels and stuff. But
who hunts for squirrels?
We're like Dennis the Menace over here.
You have squirrel hides on your wall? You're a loser.
I talk like I've done this before. We've never done it. It's like almost like I'm scared to pick it up. Like that's how, you know, like that's how dangerous. But a coyote, like I'll tell you right now, it would scare me. And you equip them, I think. No.
He has a hockey stick.
A hockey stick is, yeah, you know what? Do the hockey stick. That's good enough.
Well, he has it with him.
He's fine. I live in the country. There's coyotes everywhere. Never in 40 years has anyone on our near our property ever been even remotely approached by it. You have to corner it. If you corner it, if he gets it on the ice and let's say it's like a rink, an actual rink, and it got on there by mistake and he's on there, he's done for. Like he's gonna get attacked.
Really?
I think so. If he's cornered, like a raccoon, like you corner a raccoon, you're done, man.
But there's no boards on the rink. He's not cornered.
I know. I'm just saying, if like that's like worst case.
Yeah. Okay, there is wild turkeys though.
Throw a wild turkey at the coyote.
He won't catch either.
So speaking of all this like manly hunting kind of thing, do you use hand cream?
That's a great question. Hold on. Before you trap us, trappity trapper, why are you asking this?
No, just do you like, you sit down at night,
you
have your tea, you sit down, you're putting on Queen's Gambit. Do you, and just.
I would do it like after COVID, after, you know, being at school and doing all the hand sanitizer stuff, and Patricia has the cream around. Sometimes they're like, oh, yeah, let me see if this will go on. I'll do it one out of 3,500 times that I've seen someone put it on. Like I don't jump to it, but I've also been known, my father-in-law, I was working with him one summer and he's like, Jace, call me Jace. He's like, he's Croatian, like the toughest guy in the world. He's like, you have hands like Babica. I'm like, oh my God, thanks, man. What's Babica? It's a midwife. So I have hands like a midwife. My hands are already soft, like just naturally. And Steven, there's no way you're answering this question that you actually use hand cream.
No, never. But I'm not trying to be tough guy. It's more lazy. Like I'm not interested. Give me a chocolate bar and move on.
On this topic though, Mark, when I like the other day, cause Patricia has we have all this time, she's doing a mask or something. And she look at all these, you know, things on my face, blackheads, whatever. I'm like, okay, you know what? She just cleaned her face with that. I go, take the white swab, put it on my face. We'll compare who's cleaner right in front of my kids.
What?
My daughter. They're all like, oh, no way. Mama just washed her face. I never washed my face ever, even in the shower. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Like never. I do shampoo my beard though. Okay. Cause that's disgusting if I don't do that. But like, I don't put soap on my face or anything. Zero. We do it. Nothing on mine. Absolutely nothing. And I just ran from downstairs. Patricia, disgusting. It was black. It was awful. awful. I was like, oh my gosh, like, oh my God, she questioned everything she's done up until that point. You try it with your wives.
I'm fascinated by that. That's fantastic. And it's funny. That's going to lead to a question I had here. In high school, okay, because that's when you're suffering the most. Did you ever use a cover-up to cover a pimple?
Oh, that's such a good question.
100%.
I probably did once. Yeah, I probably did once. My sister had makeup and stuff. I had to. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think everyone's done it once.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, high school is like the most vulnerable time of your life, man. You got to do what you got to do. If you're drawing with your kids, coloring book. Do you reach for markers or pencil crayons?
Pencil crayons.
I outline it in marker and then color it in with pencil crayons.
Wow. I outlined first though.
Yeah. You have to outline dark with the pencil crayon.
That's why I use the
shade in.
No, I don't go near markers.
No. Stupid. Too messy. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, beyond that, guys, I got nothing. So before we wrap up again, I want to say this at the end of every show. Send us your questions about Ben Fisk, about our last guest, or about us, or anything you want to know. Send us in your questions. We appreciate all that. We will read it on air. No matter what it is, we will read your question on air and answer it. So other than that, guys, I don't know if you have anything to say. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to Ben. Clean your fish tanks and tune in next week.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Thanks very much for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to get in touch, you'll find us on Instagram at SoccerSnob1, on Twitter at SoccerSnobs1, by searching for us on Facebook, and of course on the web at www.soccersnobs.ca/listen. You can leave us your opinion, give us any comments, and if that's where you want to get nasty, feel free to do so.